Never would have made it. Never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all. But now I see how you were there for me, and I can say, never would have made it. Never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all. But now I see how you were there for me, and I can say, I'm stronger, I'm wiser, I'm better, much better. When I look back over all you brought me through,
just need to testify to somebody next to him. Tell him, I'm stronger, I'm wiser, I'm better, much better. When I look back over what he brought me through, I realize I made it because I had you to hold on to. Now I'm stronger, now I'm wiser, I'm better, so much better. I made it. Is there anybody in this house other than me that could declare you made it? Tell your neighbor, never would have made it.
Never would have made it.
Tell him, never could have made it. Oh, I wish I had some help here. I wish I had just two or three people that would just declare it. Never would have made it.
Never could have made it.
Never could have made it.
Good evening. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio, the next chapter. It's Tuesday, January the 24th, 2012, and this is Sheila Coley, your host for tonight. I'm standing in for our illustrious director, Mary Hollis. Mary's away, taking a much-needed rest this month, but she will return on next week. So we want you to be ready to welcome Mary back on next week. The next chapter is a widow's ministry. And the next chapter of widow's ministry was created to help women recover from the loss of that special someone, which was their husband. Widows have no specific identity. You may be young or old, poor or wealthy, with or without children. Your loss could have been sudden or it could have been expected. While there are many diverse situations, the common link is the marital relationship that was created regardless of the years. The emotional distress can be overwhelming. When someone you have shared secrets with, made love with, laughed with, been angry with, and a host of other scenarios passes, that person is missed. No one can fill that emptiness. Who understands? Who can I talk to? Who can help me with all the details? How do I cope? These challenges is what gave birth to the next chapter, Widow's Ministry. It is time to now turn to the next chapter in your life, and we are here to help you do just that. God is the giver of life, but he is also the one who takes it. With the spiritual insight and the personal experience of all of our members and our leaders, we feel assured that you will not be alone. The next chapter shows you love through regular encouragement and information about the many decisions that you will face. And the next chapter, Widow's Ministry, we have a verse that we use, and it's taken from the New Testament scripture found in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 3. And it reads, "Honor widows that are widows indeed." I'm going to repeat that. It says, honor widows. That would be you that are widows indeed. And one of the things that we're going to talk about tonight is that particular verse. So many times we hear that, but I just want to, you know, share a few minutes this evening just what that means. Now, this month we have been talking about financial things, taxes, insurances, budgets, making decisions that sometimes are very difficult to make. But this evening, as we close out that financial piece, we want to talk about you being honored. And so I want to play a scene. Here's a scene that is played out far too often in our churches today. Let's say you, a woman, loses your husband to death. After a few weeks of flurry of attention and all the people stopping by and calling and the cards, you'll often find it more and more awkward to fit into relationships that once have been just so natural and easy to do. Friends and even family members feeling uncomfortable or even embarrassed around you don't really know how to relate, and you may find it difficult to relate to them too. Your children may have their own lives to get on with, or if they're little, may need you even more. Gradually, you ease toward the periphery of the church. Sometimes we draw closer to our jobs or to hobbies, but in many cases, we look towards the church. And yes, I am aware that this is not always the case, and it's certainly not a problem limited to the church. But when it happens inside the church, the heads of even unbelievers shake in amazement and scorn, and they will ask, usually hypocritically speaking, they may ask questions like, well, where's your Christian compassion? from your members and from your pastor? And where's the Christian love from one another that you all always talk about? And where is your pastor? And where are the people that were singing in your choir? And we want to look back even in Old Testament from the time of Israel's inception. God has been known as being the defender of widows. There are verses in Deuteronomy, in particular, that talks about justice among God's people was measured in part by the treatment of widows as indicated in the book of Isaiah. And also, God's compassion for the widow became the covenant community responsibility, which is the early church that the early church just naturally took up. So after all of this cemetery events and the cars have died out and people stop bringing food by and stop calling, and you start looking towards the church now has to somehow figure out how it is that they can be there adequately for you. And even our non-believers can look and see where the church is caring for our widows. Because remember, this New Testament scripture in the book of Timothy, where Paul was talking to Timothy about the widows and was commanding that we should honor them. Now, the present passage in the Bible that we're talking about in 1 Timothy, most extensive treatment of this subject is centered around this particular chapter. And through instructions to Timothy, Paul was telling Timothy that the issue of community support for the issues needed to be taken care of. At the same time, he wanted to be reminding the widows that they are also to make positive contributions to the church ministry. So along with, you know, you all needing to look towards the church for some assistance, for encouragement, and maybe even for some resources, we want you to also be reminded that you need to also give back to the church. And the passage reflects a fairly advanced system of caring. There was a list or a roll of widows that was eligible for support, but the system was being abused. So they had a list of all the people that had become widows whose husband had passed away, and they were offering assistance to them, but there were some of the widows that were taking advantage of that. Now, families of widows were not shouldering their responsibility. Thus, it was placing a financial strain on the church. So let's say we have widows whose spouses prior to their death had taken out insurance policies whereby in the event of their death, their wife would be left with enough financial support that would be able to help her take care of whatever bills or living expenses that was left. Or in the event that there was maybe not an insurance policy, but the house was already paid for, the cars were paid for, so the monthly income was being adequate. And in that case, the amount of support that you would need from the church would be little to none. Well, that was some of the same issues back in the book of Timothy. There were some of the women whose husbands had passed away, and they were able to very well take care of themselves, but because there were resources being provided to widows, just because they were widows, they were taking advantage of that. And so even if we look in our contemporary church, when there are resources available, we have to ask ourselves, do we need those resources, or are we just being greedy? Or are we taking the resources that could very well be applied to someone who's in much need? And also, during that particular time, they also addressed the younger widows. Because remember in the beginning, in my introduction, widows do not have a particular face. They are diverse. There could be older widows as well as younger widows. Even within the membership of the next chapter, we have young widows. We have widows under 30. We have widows with small children. And so this passage is really dealing with those younger women. It says there were certain younger women who have managed to get on the list. Now, this list that was back in the book of Timothy were all the women that whose husbands had died who were needing some assistance. And so Scripture says somehow they got on that list. And the problem was that they were threatening the church's reputation because of their involvement with the false teachings and scandalous behavior. Now, we're certainly not saying every young widow would be doing that, However, the concern was that some of the younger widows, and possibly some of the older ones too, were developing relationships with some of the men besides their husband had passed away. And so it was generating a certain amount of gossip. And Paul was just very concerned that their youthfulness may cause them to want to continue on in physical behaviors that was pretty much restricted just to the institution of marriage. And having young children, it's possible that they wanted to have a mate to help them continue to raise their children. So what Paul was suggesting, that maybe some of those younger women may want to consider being remarried. Therefore, they would take some of the financial strain off of the church. Now, the instructions addressed three related topics. One was the identification of the honorable widow. So when it says honor widows, they indeed, so we certainly do want to honor all of our widows, but we want to honor you all in the way that you need honoring. Some people need honoring through resources, financial resources. Some of you just need help paying bills and taking care of certain things. Others, you need to be honored by letting you know that you're loved and you're not alone, and that even though that your husband is absent, you know that you still have family members and friends and church people that will be there for you. And sometimes some of our widows just need a visit, need somebody to talk to because they're lonely. They're used to being in the house with their husband, and maybe all of their children have grown older and don't quite know what, you know, things to get involved in. So, you know, there are many different ways that the widows would need to be honored. The other, remember, there were three related topics to the instructions that we found here in the book of Timothy. The second area is family responsibility for the widows. The question is, what do the family have a responsibility to do in the event, let's say, your dad passes and so it's your mom that's left behind, or let's say your husband passed, and what is the responsibility of your children? And so we always want to address the fact that children and family members have a responsibility to come and help. Some widows are blessed with wonderful children. They're just there. And I know when my father died and my mother was left alone, I went and moved in with her for about 2 or 3 months and helped her get used to opening the mail and running errands and handling phone calls. Because actually, even about a month or two later, even months after that, the phone would ring and people would ask to speak to my father. And my mom didn't really enjoy answering those telephone calls because some people did not know that he had passed away. And so there was the responsibility of children and church members and other family members to come in and assist when it was time for the car to be serviced. Well, some widows have never necessarily had to take the car to the shop to get it serviced because maybe your husband always did that. Or cut the grass. I know I have never been behind a lawnmower other than to hand my husband maybe something to drink. So, you know, there are many roles that our husbands fulfilled, and when they're no longer around, then it becomes the responsibility of family members and friends to help fill in. And I'm also imagining the many, many, many decisions that maybe the husband made or the husband and wife, you and the husband together made those decisions. And now the decision is yours all alone. So that is one of the second areas of the three related topics that we were talking about. And the last area that we talked about was young widows. And keep in mind, young widows, when you get married and you're in your 20s and 30s, there are discussions about growing old together and raising the children and grandchildren, and we're going to move from this location and move into a bigger house. And there's lots and lots of dreams that take place. And so when you have to have the terrible experience of wearing the widow's dress and going to the funeral and going through the whole process, sometimes you need a little bit more encouragement than some of the women who have been married longer years, and that's not always the case, just sometimes the case. Oftentimes when you've been married longer, you've had an opportunity to accomplish some of your dreams and complete some of the things that were on your bucket list. So we always want to encourage our young widows, you know, that God loves you, and I know you had plans for many years and possibly even decades, talked about the 25th wedding anniversary and possibly the 50th anniversary, but God had different plans for you. So we just want to encourage all of our widows, whether you are young or old, whether you were left with no money or a lot of money, whether your husband passed away suddenly or tragically, or he had been sick for quite a while, we want you to know that God loves you and you deserve the honor. We want you to know it's okay to go places and let people know, I'm a widow, my husband's passed away, and I need your help. Because remember, God has a heart for widows and your children. Widows and orphans, God has commanded all of his people that we need to look after you and take care of you, because that is very important to him. Because remember, God will be everything to us that we need him to be. So if your husband is no longer there, then God says, I will be everything to you. And so we want you to be encouraged. We want to let you know that not only God loves you, but Mary loves you, and I love you, and the whole next chapter ministry loves you. And we always want to let you know that you're invited out to all of our activities. Some of you are close by in the Atlanta, Georgia area, and others of you, you participate in our internet radio from afar. But if you're ever in town or in the area, on the third Saturday of each month at 9 a.m., we want you to know that you're invited out to our monthly fellowship. And we want you to know that you're also welcome to tune in every Tuesday evening from 11 o'clock to 11:30 p.m. on our Blog Talk Radio. And sometimes you don't have to always listen in on the phone by calling in. Sometimes you can just go to your computer and you can just type in on your internet in browser, www.blogtalkradio.com/the next chapter. And that way, and that's where you can see a picture of Mary Hollis, our director and host, and get a little bit of information on what we will be talking about on that particular evening. And you can just listen to us by internet. So we want to let you know that we have many, many things that's coming up for you planned this year. Next month, we will have our Valentine's Day event. We have our annual event every year. And we do that because we love you. We do that because you may have just been used to your husband just sharing and showering you with love. And since he's not here, we just want to help be a part of what you are missing. So stay tuned, because next week I'm sure Mary's going to give you all the details for our Valentine's Day event. Also, we have coming up our book that we hope to have published soon, or at least some point. So if you haven't gotten your story in, please do so. Remember, our story is for other people. It's not for us, because we know our story, but other people don't know our story. So we want you to share your story with the world. We want to put it in print, and just maybe somebody somewhere will have the opportunity to read it and be blessed as a result of it, because we know that God has given us the strength to endure, and he's given us grace. And grace is just another way of saying it's God's reward at Christ's expense. So he paid the price, and all we have to do is reap the benefits and accept the gift that he has given us. We want you to tune in next week when our director, Mary Hollis, and host will return from her time away from our internet broadcast. I'm sure she's excited about coming back, and we look forward to hearing from you. We want you to invite as many folks as you can on our monthly events, as well as our weekly Blog Talk Radio. Keep us in your prayer. Keep us lifted up, because we're truly here to do what God has called us to do. That concludes our broadcast for this evening, And we ask you to keep on keeping on. We're closing out with Emmanuel, the song Emmanuel, which means God is with us. He's with me, and he is with you. Love you, and have a blessed evening.
Next time you're riding down the road in your car, sing this to the Lord. You'll get where you're going much faster. Come. Let us.
Come, let us adore him.
Kneel down before him.
Kneel down before him.
Worship and adore him.
Worship and adore him.
Come on, say it again. Come.
Come.
Let us. In your presence, Lord, worship. Help me say,
Emmanuel.
Come on and say, Emmanuel. To praise him even in the midst of a trial. Come.
Let us. Come, let us adore him.
No matter what's going on in your life, you got to know how to give him a sacrifice of praise. Now I know you know the song by now. Come.
Come.
Let us adore him.
Kneel down before him.
He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Come on, say
Emmanuel.
I like that.
Emmanuel.
He's my Redeemer. He's my Savior.
Let me see some hands.